It's our Week 13 NFL preview featuring the Packers and Lions, the Eagles and Bears, and much more. I welcome to the Shots and Tenier NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy, special Wednesday edition for Wednesday, November 26th, 2025. I am Aaron Schatz, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. You can read his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. And we are here to talk about a really good Thanksgiving slate of games. I don't remember a year when the games were this good, because mostly because the Lions were terrible for so many years. But, you know, they also would have bad luck with the third game since they introduced the third game. And with Joe Burrow coming back this week, the third game is now more interesting. And it's just a really good slate of games, including a really good game on Black Friday, better than the first Black Friday game last year. So we're going to get to all of these games in a second. The show is brought to you by Underdog. If you want a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription, we have great news because we have worked with Underdog to hook you up for a limited time. When you sign up on Underdog with our link or code FTN and play your first $5, you will get $100 in bonus bets plus a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription on us. There is no better way to get. We have two top 10 fantasy rankers. We have all the betting tools, and we have all the DVOA tools.
Yes.
Yes, with the FTN GOAT subscription. Remember, sign up on Underdog, play your first $5, and our marketing team will be on the lookout to hook you up with the code for a free month of your FTN GOAT subscription. Promo code FTN on Underdog. Terms apply. I also want to remind everyone that there is a Black Friday sale all week long. It's Black Week sale, I guess, on FTN. So if you use code TURKEY, you can get a discount on the GOAT package. And if you use code GRAVY, you can get a discount on our NFL stats or NFL pro packages.
Turkey or gravy?
Yeah. Turkey or gravy. Those are your codes.
Don't put any side dishes in there. Don't argue about pie, turkey.
Green bean casserole for a discount on our NBA package. No, I'm kidding. Although we have a lot of cool NBA stuff coming. We're doing NBA charting and there's cool NBA stuff coming, and I don't understand all of it, but it's awesome. Be on the lookout. If you're an NBA fan, watch the FTN space, because we have good basketball stuff coming.
I'm just picturing somebody trying to type in green bean casserole and trying to spell casserole and figuring out where
to have it. Right. How do you spell casserole, and do you put spaces in it?
Right. Underscores.
All right. Let's start with the first game. And don't forget, by the way, I believe they have changed the times of the Thanksgiving games. I believe that the first game used to be at 12:30.
Yes.
With the second game at 4. This year, the first game is at 1 with the second game at 4:30. They moved them back to the same times as Sunday games.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I used to set my clock by that. I didn't put my turkey in.
It was the only game all year that started before 1 o'clock. Now, of course, you have the 9:30 games, but yeah, it's 1 o'clock. Packers 7-3-1 at Lions 7-4. Packers make the playoffs 94% with a win, 71% with a loss, and they win the division 72% with a win, 25% with a loss. The Lions make the playoffs 91% with a win and 66% with a loss. They win the division 59% with a win and 12% with a loss. As we will get to in a bit, we are not believers in the Chicago Bears.
We are not
division leaders.
We are not believers in the Chicago Bears. And of course, a Packers win would represent a sweep for the Packers in that series.
Yes, they won in week one, 27-13, which you may remember as the, oh my God, they really did trade for Micah Parsons game. Where Jared Goff was sacked 4 times and they completely shut down the Detroit running game.
Right. The Lions looked unprepared in that game. The Packers looked like they were going to ride the high of Micah Parsons right through the Super Bowl. And then their offense showed up.
And in the on his Substack today, Mike did a bunch of stats stuff about Thanksgiving games and was looking for an extreme Jordan Love stat. Jordan Love seems to rank ninth thing, but I found one for you.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Love has a 40% DVOA against man coverage. That is fourth in the league, and the top four guys are all between 40 and 42%, so they're basically all tied.
Wow. So you don't want to try to play man coverage against the Packers, even
and
though...
And the Lions are third in frequency of man coverage, and they're very good at it. They're third in DVOA with man coverage, but is that the thing you want to do against Jordan Love?
It's weird because they don't have the matchups you would want in every given week because the Packers usually have three guys injured in their receiving tight end core. That is the case again this week. Meanwhile, the Lions have all these injuries in their secondary right now. Terrion Arnold is in concussion protocol. It's not sure if he'll play. And Kirby Joseph, their safety, who you'd like to have out there deep if you're playing man. He's been out for a couple weeks. It's not clear whether he's going to be back tomorrow.
I mean, the other interesting thing here is all the stuff the Packers did well against the Lions – hasn't been as great the rest of the year.
No, right.
The Packers' run defense is only 17th in DVOA, and the Lions' running game is fourth. Like, that was a real weird thing in the first week. The Packers are currently only 18th in pressure rate.
Yes.
But the Lions are having real problems on the interior of their offensive line. I don't remember the name of the backup, where Christian Mahogany got hurt, and now there's a backup left guard, and he is bad.
Yes, I don't remember his name either. He's struggling. Graham Glasgow, the center, has been playing through injuries. He hasn't been practicing. Frankly, Sewell and Decker have not been practicing and have just been going out there. So really across that offensive line for the Lions, there are injuries. You're right, though. In that first game, it wasn't just Parsons. It's, well, when you double Parsons, here comes Lucas Van Ness, also banged up. Here comes other guys. The Packers have gotten a lot less of that in recent weeks.
I'll also point out that the Packers are very good versus deep passes, but only 18th against shorter passes and only 18th over the middle, which is obviously a really important stat if you're playing the Lions, because I don't think anybody throws over the middle more than Jared Goff.
All right. He loves throwing to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Nate Hobbs, the nickel slot corner, has been out for a couple weeks. He may be back. There's a lot of maybe backs. Remember, it's Thursday games. Keyshawn Nixon is probably out.
He's their top. I mean, he's their best corner, I think, as far as ability. Hobbs just hasn't been it this year. Hobbs, when he was healthy, was playing very badly.
Right. Hobbs was struggling. Then he got hurt. You got Valentine running around. They've been getting a lot of great play, obviously, from their safeties, Evan Williams and McKinney. But at some point, you're saying, well, the safeties might have to be out there covering Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I mean, it's like you're sitting here going, okay, can the Detroit withstand the Packers offense? But the Detroit defense shows up, you know, every week, even with injuries, and Kelvin Shepard does stuff, and they play really well.
They strike me as a very high variance team. You know, when you take into account the loss to the Vikings, when you look at the Giants game, which was a completely different game in the first half and the second half, I never know which Lions team is going to show up, the best team in the NFL or the 18th or 19th best team in the NFL.
I will point out that the Packers' run defense is stronger on the outside than the inside. Okay. So this might be more – I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs went insane against the Giants, who have the worst run defense in the league. But more of a David Montgomery game.
I don't know. It might be more of a Gibbs run between the tackles game, too. I think Montgomery's kind of been put into RB2.
Storage a little bit.
Yeah. The back of the committee.
One more interesting stat, by the way, the Lions are better on third and short on both offense and defense, which means that they need on offense to make sure that they get yards on first and second down.
Yes.
They are third on third and short, 12th on third and medium, and 21st on third and long.
Wow.
Okay. But on defense, what it means is if the Packers don't get a lot of yards on the early downs, and I'll point out that Josh Jacobs is supposed to play.
Yes, that's right.
You can still get the Lions on third and long. Okay. The Lions are first in the league on defense on third and short, but only 27th on third and long.
Huh. They were stopping tush pushes. They were stopping all the Eagles stuff a couple weeks ago. And the Packers are not – I don't know what the Packers' short yardage numbers are, but when they get into the red zone, that's when things get goofy for the Packers' offense. So that is a matchup that favors the Lions.
The line is Lions minus 2.5.
I'll take it.
You'll take the Lions.
I'll take it. Got to watch that injury report because, again, we're looking at Nate Hobbs. Jaden Reed is on the injury report. If Reed is back and Jacobs is back, as Hobbs is back, I might think that the Packers have enough to turn this around. But right now, I'm leaning towards the Lions.
I would lean towards the Packers.
Okay.
I would lean towards the Packers. I don't think the Lions are a good matchup for the Packers. That man coverage thing.
That's a good point.
Really would worry me. I doubt that it will look like week one.
No, it shouldn't look like week one. That was a surprise. That was a whoops. We didn't expect this coming into our, you know, coming to get us.
And remember, if you are watching us live, if you remembered to, we're Wednesday rather than Thursday, or you're watching through the Twitter link or something, you can make comments and ask questions. YouTube, make comments and ask questions. Let's talk about the second game. 6-5 Chiefs at 5-5-1 Cowboys. Here come the playoff odds. The Chiefs, we still have making the playoffs 76% of the time with a win and 49% with a loss.
Wow. Yeah, this game for the Chiefs, they can lose this one because it's an out-of-conference game.
The Cowboys, even though they're only a half game behind the Chiefs, are much worse in the playoff odds because the NFC North and West are so strong.
Right.
So the Cowboys are at 15% with a win and 3% with a loss. NYC Gator asks, is there a negative correlation for offenses with a high play count coming into a short week? Like there is for defensive performance. The Chiefs offense ran 91 plays on Sunday. I do not know the answer to that question. That is an interesting question.
That is a good question. We'd have nothing.
I have nothing. The Cowboys defense allowing a yard per play less in the last three games. Two of those have Quinn and Williams. It's this crazy thing. We're like, are they really a different defense now? Or is it just two games?
Right. I think it's somewhere in between. I think the answer is somewhere in between there. Yes. Williams has been a monster for 2 weeks.
And the big stat for this one. Okay. We talked about man coverage in the Lions Packers game. Mahomes is number one in DVOA against zone coverage. Remember early in the year when all the Cowboys played was zone coverage? Now they're playing more man.
Okay.
And they've got Sharon Ravel, the rookie cornerback, and they dropped Kyir Elam, and so they
play
more man.
Yes.
But you do not want to play zone against Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce.
No. A couple of the biggest plays that happened late in the game, actually throughout the game against the Colts, were against zone coverage. And the Cowboys don't match up well in zone coverage. I mean, Ravel's had a couple of decent games. They have this other young man out there, second-year player, whose name escapes me, that they've been using a lot.
Carson?
Yes, Carson. He's been in this, like, rotation with Ravel. I don't like Bland as a CB1 necessarily. Donovan Wilson's been struggling at safety. If they're going to try and match up, man, I think they're going to have a hard time against the Chiefs.
The other thing on the other side, I'll point out that the Chiefs are only 21st on middle passes.
Okay.
Compared to 11th on passes to the sides. And Dak Prescott, as I wrote about in Quick Reads this week, is very good on passes up the middle. And the Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie is a good pair of corners to have on Lamb and Pickens. And my guess is if they move Lamb into the slot, they move McDuffie into the slot.
That's probably the case. Lamb has been less slotty this year than usual. They like putting Turpin in there. They like putting Tolbert in there. But Lamb obviously has played the slot a lot. He usually works middle of the field. Pickens, by the way, flashed on the injury report. He is off the injury report. He should be fine. One big one for the Cowboys is left tackle. Tyler Guyton, he has a high ankle sprain. He is unlikely to play. For the Chiefs, a big one. Well, Noah Gray is out. You may have seen he had a major concussion in the fourth quarter. Chiefs guard Trey Smith is almost certainly out. That means the legendary Mike Caliendo, who Chiefs
will go up against Quinn and Williams.
We'll go against Quinn and Williams or Osa, or they have the great, they kind of have like the three great tackles right now. That's kind of what's fueling everything for the Cowboys. So you don't want to be.
Yeah. And also Isaiah Pacheco, I believe, is out.
I heard a conflicting report.
Oh, you heard a conflicting report. Is he, he's in?
Let me check on that. You know what? Check the injury report. Isaiah Pacheco before making any prop bets or
fantasy bets. Yes. Bill Houston wants to know if we have thoughts on the Chiefs picking up Damian Pierce from the Texans. Yeah, Elijah Mitchell they signed is nothing for them. Pierce is just sort of a guy.
He's a guy.
I don't really have an opinion on that.
He was a tough guy. He might have short yardage value. I think he's a special team.
Bill says Pacheco is coming back for this game.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I thought I'd heard that.
Both of these offenses slow down in the red zone compared to their overall ratings.
Hmm.
Which means it really emphasizes, and we know this about playing the Chiefs, right? They always say about playing the Chiefs, you want the touchdown, not the field goal. Go for it on fourth, get the touchdown, not the field goal.
Yes.
I think it's really big in this game. Who gets touchdowns and who gets field goals?
Yeah. We saw the Cowboys struggle in the red zone a couple of times against the Eagles this time. Back in week one against the Eagles, the Cowboys had a big mistake in the red zone that has fueled the games in that place. So I think they do have a red zone problem on offense. Maybe it's because you don't have to worry about the deep threat of Pickens as much and you can constrict things a little bit. But the Cowboys are going to need to do that because I think the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points this week.
And the other thing, this is a kind of random stat. These teams are both near the top of the league in frequency of scrambles faced. And we know Mahomes can scramble.
Oh, yes, and he loves to scramble, and there's not a lot of speed. Those big three tackles aren't going to catch him when he runs.
Line is Chiefs minus -3, but game is in Dallas.
I'll take the Chiefs minus -3.
I'm kind of feeling it, too.
I'm feeling it.
The Chiefs are marching back. They're going to make the playoffs. The Chiefs are – it's sort of amazing to me. The Chiefs are third in the Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl. They're still the top AFC team, even though they're currently not in the playoffs.
And a lot of that is the public factored in, not just DVOA. But DVOA still points out what they're capable of.
Yeah, but even though DVOA points out what they're capable of, you're talking about a team that's going to have to go on the road and win three games.
Exactly, exactly.
And so that's tough to do.
What if one of those games is in Indianapolis, though, and the next one is in Foxborough? Anyway, let's go on.
The night game is the 3-8 Bengals at the 6-5 Ravens, which is not interesting because of the Bengals, really. But Joe Burrow is back. Bengals make the playoffs 6% with a win, 0 with a loss. Ravens 77% with a win, 51% with a loss. These teams are playing twice over the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
I didn't pick out a lot of stats on this game because, first of all, Burrow only played 2 weeks. What are you really going to learn from that? And then with the defense, it's basically the Bengals are bad in every way. They are the worst defense ever measured by DVOA. They're horrendous against tight ends in particular. And what do the Ravens play with a lot of? Two tight ends. They're particularly bad against passes in the short middle of the field.
Which is
yuck. Just a big, gigantic, big old ball of yuck.
As I wrote, they're on pace to set like the missed tackles record, according to Pro Football Reference, with the amount of tackles they missed. They're still worst in DVOA.
They are the worst, yes. Even though they had a reasonable game against the Patriots, by 0.1%, they are the worst defense ever tracked through 11 games.
You were concerned about that because you wanted to write it up.
I wanted to write it up, and I did. Yeah. It'll be on ESPN tomorrow.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yes. A couple of injury notes. T. Higgins has a concussion. He is almost certainly out. So while Jamar the Spitter Chase is back in, Burrow's back in, Higgins is out. Trey Hendrickson is out with a hip injury. They're officially calling Lamar Jackson's injury a toe. He was a full participant in practice. When you interview Harbaugh about it, he makes like these four-paragraph remarks about toughness and competitiveness, which sounds like Lamar.
This is where the adjusted games lost comes in, because when a player is questionable but he plays, he's not usually playing at 100%, and that is what's going on with Lamar Jackson.
That's what's going on with Lamar Jackson. That's what's going on with the line of the Detroit Lions to a degree also. Kyle Hamilton, he got knocked out late in that game. He looked like he was gone forever, but he was a limited participant in practice. Check local listings on him before kickoff because he's a big deal, obviously, if you've got Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow back.
The other, flipping it to when the Ravens are on offense, by the way, when the Ravens are on defense, by the way,
yes.
The Ravens are only 26th in pressure rate. Remarkably, it's something the Bengals defense does better than the Ravens. The Bengals are 24th. But the Bengals are only 29th in pass block win rate, according to ESPN. So it's that's the movable object against the resistible force.
The Bengals offensive line, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
Fraser Lamont says it's a get right game for the Ravens offense. Do we expect Mitchell to be featured more in the offense going forward? And will that benefit the Ravens? Interesting because I think a lot of the problem for the Ravens running game is that there isn't as much fear of Lamar Jackson running.
There's a little bit of that. Henry is a little more boom and bust this year than I think he's been in the past. It feels like we've been waiting for Keaton Mitchell for the
last he was injured, you know.
He was hurt, but like he's always right around the corner and he's always about to play a bigger role. I'm just checking. He had two carries last week. I was wondering if I'd missed something. I don't know. I feel like what they're going to try to do is feed Henry against a team that doesn't tackle well.
Yeah, that would be a good – I mean, you know, and then, again, the Bengals defense is pretty bad at everything.
And then feed Zay Flowers short and see if they can tackle Flowers as he runs around the circle.
The line is Ravens -7 in Baltimore. The system goes Bengals.
I'm going Bengals, especially with a touchdown and a half. By the way, temperatures around freezing that night. No precipitation, but it will be an icy cold night. The Burrow back and the Jackson injury factor and the touchdown have me going Bengals on this
one. And the Hamilton injury, too.
And the Hamilton injury because he's probably not 100%, and they're going to need him with Burrow back.
Black Friday, really good. 8-3 Bears at the 8-3 Eagles. The Bears are the worst 8-3 team in DVOA history.
Not surprising.
By a lot. By like 7%.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not like we're narrowly worse than the other. Like, they're really the worst 8-3 team.
Right.
Bears make the playoffs 71% with a win and 44% with a loss. Mm. Eagles are basically in, but the number one seed, 23% with a win, 4% with a loss.
Right. You can't rack up more injury. I mean, more NFC tiebreaker worthy losses. If you want to,
I mean, it's nice that they have the tiebreaker on the Rams.
Yes.
But yeah, you got to win this game.
Yes.
The Eagles offense is interesting because I have them ranked higher than a lot of people. Here's what's going on. Their success rate is disappointing. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're higher in DVOA than you would expect is they don't turn the ball over.
Right. Right.
And that is a good thing. I mean, turnovers are less consistent and predictive than success rate, but there's still some predictive nature to them, and they are very good at not turning the ball over.
Right. It was uncharacteristic last week, and you've seen examples, for example, the Niners struggling because of turnovers on Monday Night Football of the advantage of not turning the ball over. Also, opponent adjustments are doing a bit as well, right?
Right. The Bears have the 31st ranked schedule. And for the Eagles have a hard schedule of opposing defenses. So their offense, last year, the Eagles played an easy schedule of opposing defenses. And this year, the Eagles have played a hard schedule of opposing defenses.
Right. Whereas the Bears have played a pretty ridiculous schedule overall.
Fraser Lamont says, I don't rate the Bears at all, but do the first 2 weeks heavily skew the Bears' DVOA ranking? The Bears have 3 games under -50%.
Wow.
And only one of them was in the first 2 weeks. That wow. game against the Lions, where the Lions killed them in week 2.
Yes.
Their narrow win over the Raiders in week 4 has a -50% DVOA. And their loss to Baltimore in week 8. So no, it's not like they've been that much better since the first 2 weeks. They were for a little bit, and then the last couple weeks they've been, despite the wins, right, they've won 4 straight games by less than a touchdown. They've been kind of mediocre.
Yes, 4 straight games to the Bengals, who are 3-8 right now, to the Giants. And who was quarterbacking? Was that Dar- – I'm losing track. To the Vikings, and we know what's up with J.J. McCarthy, and then to the Kyle Rudolph – not the Kyle Rudolph, the Mason Rudolph Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're all narrow wins.
Some fun splits against receivers for the Eagles. The Eagles are number 2 against wide receiver 1, but 26th against wide receiver 2. And I would bet the guy who goes against Adoree Jackson is going to be DJ Moore.
That would probably make the most sense.
They are number 1 against tight ends, but 30th against running backs as receivers. But I don't think the Bears use their running backs as receivers that much.
Not a lot.
They are number one against passes up the middle and number one against short passes, but only 12th against deep passes only. I mean, that's still above average. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams does throw deep more than most quarterbacks.
He likes to throw deep middle, though. A lot of his best completions are deep middle passes, if you see that. And it's stuff that looks like it was very well designed to get him that look over the middle of the field.
The other side of the ball, I would like to point out the Bears have better numbers against starting receivers than other receivers, but Tyreek Stevenson, who I wrote about early on, fell apart after a really good start. He's been kind of sucky the last few weeks.
And it's hurt.
Is he not playing?
He is out.
He's not even playing, so never mind.
Yeah, but Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson should be back. I have been saying that, I think, for 2 or 3 weeks, so you might want to wait, but they are, their window is open. They have been practicing, two very good cornerbacks. The top four linebackers on the Bears were do not practices on their simulator report. That was Tremaine Edmonds, who's on IR, TJ Edwards, Ruben Hippolyte, and Noah Sewell. So they are incredibly depleted at the linebacker position.
Jalen Hurts, remember I talked about the top four quarterbacks in man coverage are all very close to each other. Number one is Jalen Hurts.
Man coverage. You're trying to man cover against Smitty and Brown, and he can run,
the
too.
The Bears' defense is 30th in man coverage.
In usage?
No, they're 6th in usage.
Okay.
They're 30th in being bad.
Not a good matchup. Like,
so they're bad.
Right.
And the Eagles are very good.
Yes.
And the Bears do it a lot.
And the Bears do it a lot. And the Bears will be without their linebackers. And while the Eagles struggle to run the ball, they still have the mechanics of a good running game.
So the line is Eagles -7. And the system is going Bears, and I'm going Eagles.
I would go Eagles, so right at 7, I would push on that. But this, again, this should be an Eagles victory. This is a very helium-inflated Bears team, as we've been saying for the last couple of weeks.
Bill Houston wants to know how my proposed quarterback plus minus variable is coming along. You have to email me about that and remind me what I'm talking about. It's not something I seem to be working on regularly because I must have come up on the show at some point. So email me and tell me remind me what I proposed so that I can work on it.
By the way, if you look at the next gen stats, they've got that plus minus completion percentage versus expected completion. Caleb Williams is ridiculously bad.
Yeah.
Take a look at that. You can see sort of the helium in what he's doing put mixed in there.
The best 1 o'clock game on Sunday that most of the country, I believe, is getting is Texans 6-5 at Colts 8-3. Almost the most important game of the week for the playoff odds. The actual most important game we'll get to in a second. Texans make the playoffs 60% with a win and 26 with a loss. Colts 97 with a win. And 80 with a loss. This is the first game between these teams. The second game between them is week 18.
Right. Critical series.
Here's a fun matchup. The Texans are 31st in pass block win rate. The Colts are 32nd in pass rush win rate.
They've had injuries all along their defensive front. They don't have this outstanding defensive front, mind you, but there have been all these injuries. You want to see who's in, who's out. DeForest Buckner, who should be the straw that stirs that drink, he's on IR, so he's out.
And the Texas pass rush, which seems awesome, is actually only 12th in pass rush win rate.
How?
Which seems crazy after watching them against Buffalo last week, but the Colts are 27th in pass blocking.
Big story here is C.J. Stroud should be back. He's supposed to be
practicing. Yeah, it seems to be unknown whether he'll be back or not, but hopefully he'll be back.
He's supposed to practice today. D'Amico Ryans had to answer some questions that sounded like they were trying to stir up a quarterback controversy with Davis Mills. That I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that press conference. Also, Jalen Petrie is in the concussion protocol. He's supposed to practice today and be back because you know what the Texans need is more help on defense right now.
Bill Houston says, I was talking about the weighted variable to put more emphasis on good quarterbacks to win playoff games. The answer is off-season project, but definite off-season. Definitely an off-season project, but absolutely. Why? You know, because looking at the fact that our playoff odds have teams like Seattle and Indianapolis higher than Vegas, right? Why, you know, why is that? And is that correct? And should that be changed? The Texans have the league worst DVOA against scrambles, 10 yards per carry, if you can get away from Will Anderson. And Daniel Jones can scramble.
Daniel Jones can scramble. And yes, and if you can get away from a pack of wolves, it's very easy to survive.
The line on this one is Colts -4.5.
I don't know if I'm overreacting to last week's Colts game where they were playing extremely well up to midway through the third quarter. I don't think I would take the Colts -4.5. I think I'd need.
I mean, every game with the Texans, you're like, oh, the Texans pass off. They pass defense is so good. Oh, the Texans offense is so bad. Like, what?
Right. And then their offense does okay. Even with Mills, it gets enough.
Right. And their defense gives up some points, even though they get lots of sacks.
I'll go with Colts.
Yeah. You're going to go Colts -4.5. I'll go Colts -4.5. Right. Yep. Yep. In Indianapolis. Now the 4 p.m. game that most of the country is getting, and this is the most important game of the week for playoff odds, and that is Bills 7-4 at Steelers 6-5. Bills 93% with a win and 71% with a loss. Steelers 55% with a win and 25% with a loss. And here is a strength-on-strength battle. Steelers, second in pass rush win rate. Bills, second in pass block win rate, even though they had all those problems with the Texans.
All those problems with the Texans last week. I'll just point out right now, we have no idea with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone's saying the right things. And the Bills injury report is a disaster area. It's a tire fire. Bills, we don't know what Dalton Kincaid's status is. We don't know what Max Harrison's status is. We know what Christian Benford's status is. We don't know what the linebacker, Bernard.
We don't Bernard, know. Yeah, very heavy hit.
Right. Spencer Brown, since you brought up the pass block, Spencer Brown at right tackle, we don't know his status. I think when he left the game, that's when Shark Week really started last
year. Yeah, and Dawkins didn't look good at left tackle. It didn't look necessarily healthy.
No, it didn't look like he was playing at full strength. So there's all kinds of variables on that end. Steelers, it's like there's an eclipse on their injury report because everything's Aaron Rodgers.
And we don't know yet whether it will be Rodgers or Rudolph in this game. Both teams much better running the ball than run defense.
Okay, yes.
Which, if Mason Rudolph plays in particular, you want the Steelers to really depend on their running game, I would think.
Absolutely.
But the Bills also, James Cook, I mean, Josh Allen is not as good as last year. He's just not. And James Cook has been fantastic.
And it's such a fun offense to watch, isn't it?
Oh, the Bills? Yeah, I mean, the Steelers allow 83 yards a game to the opposing wide receiver one. Who's that?
Who's that? It's Khalil Shakir on the slot screen.
Or is it Josh Palmer? They just signed Brandon Cooks.
That's a good signing for them. But
I mean, it's a good signing. I think Brandon Cooks can still play, but it doesn't give them another number one. It just gives them another number two.
It gives them a verticality guy. But since you're running mesh, you're either running mesh or spacing on like two-thirds of your plays. It's like you got the Madden controller with the five plays and you're running those.
If Cooks is ready to play, the Steelers are 20th against deep passes.
Okay. Who's their other deep threat right now? Do they even have Gabe Davis, I guess?
Yeah.
What happened?
First, Keon Coleman was never
a deep threat,
no. But also he's apparently a dick.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, healthy scratch for two straight weeks, and I don't know if this will be this week he'll be a healthy scratch again.
Right. Meanwhile, we know what's going on with the Steelers. They have DK Metcalf and seven tight ends.
Yes.
So we know what their passing game is going to look like.
The crazy thing is they used so much tight ends.
Yes.
And Jonnu Smith had so much success with Arthur Smith in the past.
Right.
And Jonnu Smith's been terrible this year.
Right. I think Jonnu's maybe run out of juice because if he had anything left, there would be plays designed for him by Arthur Smith.
The line is Bills -3.5 in Pittsburgh. The system has no pick.
With cold and snow showers, rain and snow showers in the forecast, check your forecast on that particular game. I would take the Bills to boat race them, but I need an injury report. I have to have some sense of how effed up their whole situation is.
I'm going to take the Steelers because of the Bills injury report. I'm going to take the Steelers to cover 3.5 at home.
They cover. They do. They're a good cover sauce team. But if the injury report cleans up a little bit, I'd definitely lean Bills.
Yeah. NYC Gator says almost all of Allen's interceptions are in games where Kincaid is out because no one is winning on the outside. I mean, you think about it, the Bills' number one receiver is really Kincaid.
Yes, and he's been out.
If you ask yourself, not if you define number one receiver not as who is Sauce Gardner covering, right, but if you define it as who is Josh Allen looking for when it's third down and the chips are down,
right?
The answer is Dalton Kincaid. Right, there's really a couple of ways to define who your number one receiver is, but if you do it from an offensive point of view, it's Kincaid.
It would be Kincaid, and things are schemed up to try and get him the ball, and they would like to go two tight end, three tight end, and use him as a weapon, but they can't because he's not there.
And by the way, you're asking, Washington is not a former basketball player project. Washington played at Georgia, I believe.
Georgia, and he was
not this size.
No, he was huge though.
He was big, but he wasn't this big in college.
No, he did. He bulked up to like the 300-pound range, but he was a very weird square peg prospect. I remember interviewing him at the combine, and like all the tight ends walked in, and he walked in towards the end because he's Washington with a W, and like it was me and Jared Bailey were like, "Oh my God, look at the size of this man in terms of like thickness," and then he put on the weight. So yeah, he's like a big left tackle running routes.
What catches? He's not – a lot of times when you describe a tight end as, oh, he's like a big left tackle, you're talking about somebody who like Josh Oliver.
Yes. Just,
Washington's catching some passes too.
He catches some passes. I mean, I don't think he's like the greatest like bad ball catcher.
Not as much as Freiermuth or anything, but no, more than I would expect.
And when he turns up field, it's trouble. Yeah. It's trouble.
Because he's 320 pounds or whatever.
Yes. Yes, he's an ornery man, a large ornery man.
All right, that does it for today's show. Again, don't forget about the Black Friday sale on FTN, which is a code TURKEY for a GOAT subscription and code GRAVY for a Stats or Pro subscription. Have an awesome Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes.
Enjoy all the really good games, and we will be back on Monday to talk about all of these games and preview. Here's another movable object versus a resistible force. The Patriots running game against the Giants run defense.
That's the Monday night game?
That's the Monday night game. Yeah. So if you don't want to talk about whether Bill Belichick's coming back to the NFL, don't watch on Monday night.
Wow. 2007, where have you gone?
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. So long, everybody.